For every person who has been scarred by rape culture and survives nonetheless. Introduction. When I was 12 years old, I was gang raped in the woods behind my neighborhood by a group of boys with the dangerous intentions of bad men. It was a terrible, life-changing experience. Before that, I had been naive, sheltered. I believed people were inherently good and that the meek should inherit. I was faithful and believed in God. And then I didn't. I was broken. I was changed. I will never know who I would have been had I not become the girl in the woods. As I got older, I met countless women who had endured all manner of violence, harassment, sexual assault, and rape. I heard their painful stories and started to think, what I went through was bad, but it wasn't that bad. Most of my scars have faded. I have learned to live with my trauma. Those boys killed the girl I was, but they didn't kill all of me. They didn't hold a gun to my head or a blade to my throat and threaten my life. I survived. I taught myself to be grateful I survived, even if survival didn't look like much. It was comforting, perhaps, to tell myself that what I went through wasn't that bad. Allowing myself to believe that being gang raped wasn't that bad allowed me to break down my trauma into something more manageable, into something I could carry with me instead of allowing the magnitude of it to destroy me. But, in the long run, diminishing my experience hurt me far more than it helped. I created an unrealistic measure for what was acceptable and how I was treated in relationships, in friendships, in random encounters with strangers. That is to say that if I even had a bar for how I deserved to be treated, that bar was so low it was buried far below ground. If being gang raped wasn't that bad, then it wasn't at all that bad being shoved or having my arm grabbed so hard it left 5 bruises in the form of fingerprints or being catcalled for having large breasts or having a hand shoved down my pants or being told I should be grateful for romantic attention because I wasn't good enough and on and on. Everything was terrible, but none of it was that bad. The list of ways I allowed myself to be treated badly grew into something I could no longer carry, not at all. Buying into the notion of not that bad made me incredibly hard on myself for not getting over it fast enough as the years passed and I was still carrying so much hurt, so many memories. Buying into this notion made me numb to bad experiences that weren't as bad as the worst stories I heard. For years, I fostered wildly unrealistic expectations of the kinds of experiences worthy of suffering until very little was worthy of suffering. The surfaces of my empathy became calloused. I don't know when this changed, when I began realizing that all the encounters people have with sexual violence are indeed that bad. I didn't have a grand epiphany. I finally reconciled my own past enough to realize that what I had endured was that bad, that what anyone has suffered is that bad. I finally met enough people, mostly women, who also believed that the terrible things they endured weren't that bad, when clearly those experiences were indeed that bad. I saw what calloused empathy looked like in people who had every right to wear their wounds openly and hated the sight of it. When I first came up with the idea for this anthology, I wanted to assemble a collection of essays about rape culture, some reportage, some personal essays, writing that engaged with the idea of rape culture, what it means to live in a world where the phrase rape culture exists. I was interested in the discourse around rape culture because the phrase is used often, but rarely do people engage with what it actually means. What is it like to live in a culture where it often seems like it's a question of when, not if, a woman will encounter some kind of sexual violence? What is it like for men to navigate this culture, whether they are indifferent to rape culture or working to end it or contributing to it in ways significant or small? This anthology became something far different from what I originally intended. As I started receiving submissions, I was stunned by how much testimony writers offered. There were hundreds and hundreds of stories from people all along the gender spectrum, giving voice to how they have suffered in one way or another, from sexual violence, or how they have been affected by intimate relationships with people who have experienced sexual violence. I realized that my original intentions for this